This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now we have a bumper crop for you this week, and the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Welsh Arnage dig continues. While still in Wales, we have a report on the Heather and Hillforts project. Cat drags provide a new theory on ritual deposits in prehistoric Scottish cairns, and markings on a Bulgarian stone tablet may be an ancient inscription. A Neolithic house is confirmed at Arcadian Bronze Age Cemetery, and also in Scotland, a prehistoric discovery may delay a wind farm development in Lewis. Spy photographs from the 60s reveal ancient settlements in Syria, and an Indian archaeological find may be similar to the Nazca lines of Peru. A German family relish a chance to rough it in a Bronze Age project, and we have new details on the massive prehistoric causeway found in Suffolk. And back in Orkney, archaeologists have found an amazing Iron Age burial ritual. And 30,000-year-old engraved bones are found in Moravia in the Czech Republic, and the search for writing is the theme at a 6,000-year-old Iranian site. Also in Iran, a road threatens a 6,000-year-old mound. And, thanks to the English weather, Stonehenge balloon photo shoot is rained off. An ancient fishing village is unearthed in Vietnam. And finally, fighting to save Californian prehistoric sites, archaeologists and firefighters get together. Archaeologists excavating an Iron Age farmstead in West Wales say the site may have been the home to several families as early as 200 BCE. After 2 weeks digging at the 2,000-year-old site, the team have uncovered the remains of a circular house, together with pits and post holes. Other buildings found last year appear to have been surrounded by two large protective ditches and banks. Students from around the world are helping out at the dig, run by the Llandilio Independent Organisation and Charitable Trust, Canberra Archaeology and the University of York. Denbighshire's Heather and Hillforts Landscape Partnership Project has arranged a series of free training days on archaeological surveying techniques to encourage people to learn more about their landscape. Run by archaeologists, the sessions will cover aspects of how to help discover the history of a site while carefully conserving the area. The first session will take place on Moel Fenley on August the 30th, with training days also at Caer Druin on September the 2nd and at Pennywyr Clwyd on September the 3rd. Funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund, Denbighshire's County Council and Cladwyn Clwyd through the Leader Plus programme, the Heather and Hillforts project has recently won a European Europa Award for its research and study programme. Previous survey of the Hillforts in the project area have found 90 previously unrecorded archaeological features within the Hillforts. The Heather and Hillforts project aims to develop four programmes, the first focusing on Hillfort heritage, increasing understanding and improving management of these important sites, and the second programme will relate to the moorland heritage and improving its condition for conservation and agriculture. The third programme will focus on increasing people's knowledge and understanding of this outstanding heritage, as many people who already visit these sites know very little of their significance. And lastly, the fourth programme will focus on increasing people's access to heritage. To register for the archaeology sessions, call 01824 708 257. That was 01824 708 257. Or alternatively, you can email them and find that email address on the Stone Pages News website. The actions of a domestic cat have thrown up a new theory about ancient stone burial cairns in Caithness in Scotland. Archaeologists built a mock-up of the structures as part of an experiment. Emma Sanderson of Caithness Archaeology Trust said that it was found that a dead rabbit had been left in the replica by a cat. She said it could mean that animal bones found in real cairns were not the remains of ceremonial offerings as previously thought, but actually left by other creatures. Archaeologists built reconstructions of burial cairns and ancient towers called brochs as part of a series of research projects and excavations carried out in Caithness over the summer. The archaeologists are now analysing their fieldwork, including the new insights into cairns. Dr. Olf Karov, a prominent Bulgarian archaeologist, has said that an almost 7,000-year-old stone tablet found in Bulgaria has carved marks that might turn out to form one of the world's oldest inscriptions. He had received the tablet from a private collector who had unearthed it 20 years ago, but the collector had wished to remain anonymous because he will face or risk prosecution for looting or criminal possession of antiquities. The tablet, 6 centimetres long and about 7.5 centimetres wide, carries 5 distinct signs, each made up of 2 elements. Dr. Ovkarov said the carvings could be part of the same proto-script as the markings on 2 similar tablets found in Bulgaria many years ago, dating back to the 5th millennium BCE. Questions surrounding an unusual building at the Knowes of Trotty Bronze Age Cemetery on the island of Harry in Scotland have been answered, or at least partially. The structure has turned out to be an early Neolithic house which predates the Harry Cemetery by approximately 1,500 years, dating from around 3,500 BCE. The structure resembles a Knap of Hour in Papawestry. The house, and the various finds from within it, are also very similar to the building excavated at Stonehall in Firth. The house was originally discovered during an exploratory dig at the Knowes of Trotty in 2002. Subsequent excavations left the archaeologist puzzled as to its origin and purpose, but returning to the site this year, it became clear that a Stone Age settlement was once sited at the foot of the Ward of Redland. Dr. Jane Downes of Orkney College and Orkney Archaeological Trust's Nick Card led the excavation. We extended the previous trenches to clarify the extent and layout of the buildings. It was oblong in shape and measured about 7 metres by 4 metres. From a preliminary look at the area, it looks like this house was part of a larger Neolithic settlement, though they're not certain about how the house fitted in with the later Bronze Age cemetery, although it seems likely that it had fallen into disrepair and was later adapted or adopted by the people of the Bronze Age. The key to this later use may lie in cult houses found in Bronze Age Scandinavia, and this adds to the growing evidence that the prehistoric Orkney was part of this northern world. The Knowes of Trotty is one of the earliest group of barrows in Orkney and marks a transition from the burial practices of the Neolithic, when the dead were interred in mass communal tombs, to the individual barrow burials and cremations of the Bronze Age. Still in Scotland, a Neolithic cairn discovered on Lewis in the Western Isles could force a controversial wind farm plan to be redrawn. Leisure tycoon Nicholas Oppenheim plans to build a 53-turbine wind farm at his estate on the island, but the presence of the cairn could help prove the site was sacred land to the prehistoric people who built the famous Callanish standing stones about 12 miles away. The site lies on a range of hills within the proposed development area, known as the Old Woman of the Moors because the skyline resembles the profile of a woman when viewed from Callanish. Every 18.5 years, the moon rises from between her knees as if being born, and then sets at a point framed by the 4,000-year-old stones themselves. Several of the planned 53 turbines would interrupt the skyline. Ian McHardy, an archaeologist, said that his discovery of the cairn near the old woman's knees meant the site should be protected. There's a 5-metre diameter cairn with a curve around the edge of it, which is very typical of a Neolithic construction. If there is something, it would be fascinating, and the scheme could be amended, said Mr. Oppenheim. But he would like to hear more about what exactly it is. Australian researchers studying declassified spy satellite images have found widespread remains of ancient human settlements dating back 130,000 years in Syria. The photographs were taken by United States military surveillance satellites in the late 60s. The team of researchers travelled to the Euphrates River Valley in April and June and searched sites they had painstakingly identified using the images, which were only declassified in the late 1990s. Group leader Mandy Mottram, a PhD student at the Australian National University's School of Archaeology and Anthropology, said the evidence of human life found in the area included a 24-hectare fortified town dating to the early Bronze Age and a hilltop complex of megalithic tombs. These images are particularly valuable because they show the landscape prior to its present rapid agricultural development. The researchers hope to establish the first complete record of human occupation in the area, beginning with the arrival from Africa of early human groups up to 1 million years ago. They've already found tools from the Middle Paleolithic period that are between 130 to 40,000 years old, and they could have been made even earlier. They could have been made either by Neanderthals or early modern humans, as well as a few Acheulean tools that could date back several hundred thousand years. Miss Mottram said the group was still analysing images of the items and structures they found and hoped to return to Syria next April if they secured the funding. Geologists have discovered a striking archaeological feature on a hillock in the Kutch district of the western Indian state of Gujarat. The feature is shaped like the Roman numeral VI, or 6. Each arm of this feature is a trench that is about 2 metres wide and 2 metres deep, and more than 100 metres long. The feature has evoked the curiosity of archaeologists because such signs are mostly observed far away in places like Peru. The feature was discovered at a hillock 3 kilometres from the township of Kavada, which is also known as the gateway to the Ruin of Kutch. The region is host to several archaeological sites belonging to the Harappan civilization around 3000 to 1500 BCE, and this has led to speculation that the features could relate to the Harappan civilization. It's too early to arrive at any formal conclusions, and it could be a man-made feature, or it may have been formed naturally due to the erosion of the hill slope. However, structures formed naturally due to erosion generally tend to be parallel to each other, but here all three arms are in different directions and all the ditches are uniformly wide and deep. Geometric lines and animal shapes etched into the desert plain by the people of the Nazca civilization of Peru are well known and lie on the Tropic of Cancer, which also passes through Kutch. So this structure, if it is man-made, could be possible evidence of astronomical calculations being made in the past. A German family are set to move into a Bronze Age for 10 days as part of a museum exhibition. The Borngreber family from Göppingen will wear the same clothes, prepare and eat the same food, and live in the same huts as people did 3,000 years ago. The family of four has spent almost 2 years preparing for the project. The idea is to conduct scientific research about how people lived in the Bronze Age, as well as to boost interest among museum visitors. The museum's director, Ralph Baumeister, added that people get bored looking at exhibitions of empty huts and artifacts hidden behind glass, and with this project they hope to establish an emotional connection to the Bronze Age and in that way bring archaeology closer to the people. As we reported last week, evidence of a prehistoric causeway has been uncovered during flood defence work on the Norfolk-Suffolk border in England. Now we have some more details about this find. Archaeologists said that the wooden causeway was used from the Bronze Age in about 1000 BCE through the Iron Age to the Roman times and on into the 4th century CE. Archaeologists from the University of Birmingham and Suffolk County Council's Archaeological Field Services team were called in to investigate the site. Results suggest that more than 800 metres of wooden causeway could have run from dry land on the edge of Beccles across a swamp to a spot on the River Waveney. A 30-metre section of the causeway has now been recorded with more than 40 in-situ timber posts uncovered. The 5-metre-wide causeway would have carried carts and was the Bronze Age equivalent of a motorway. After 4 weeks of excavation at the Nowra Ski in Westray in Orkney, archaeologists Graham Wilson and Hazel Moore can boast a remarkable statistic. The burials that they have unearthed at the site make up an incredible 90% of the known Iron Age remains found in Scotland to date. Prior to the start of work in 2000, Iron Age burials were rare in the whole of Scotland, let alone Orkney. But all that has changed when Graham Wilson and Hazel Moore from the Edinburgh-based Ease Archaeology moved in on the Now off the southwest tip of Westray. The archaeologists were soon overwhelmed by the sheer quantity of human remains covering the mound. Before long it became clear that the site was a funerary complex used for centuries to bury the dead. Key to the site was a structure at the centre of the mound, dating from at least 200 BCE. This building remained the focus of the cemetery until it was abandoned sometime in the 7th or 8th century CE. Sometime after its initial construction, a series of buildings were erected in the space to the north of the central structure, And here, the archaeologists uncovered a series of human graves, each burial placed in the rubble of earlier buildings, and subsequently built over, with each alteration or addition to the site. The burials, of which over 100 have been recovered so far, had no real pattern other than the fact that the adults were buried near the wall of the central structure, while the infants, which make up 60% of the burials, were in their own separate area. As well as complete burials, which usually saw bodies interred on their sides in fetal position, there were deposits of disarticulated human remains, some of which were deliberately incorporated into the walls. The Nowes Skee remains one of Orkney's most enigmatic archaeological sites, and one which, it is hoped, will continue to shed light on a hitherto unknown element of Iron Age life. Graham and Hazel will return to Westray on August the 28th for a second programme of excavations on the Now. The next phase will involve removing one of the most recent structures to gain access to older phases of building that lie beneath. It's hoped that a public open day will be held towards the end of the dig. Archaeologists have unearthed a tiny pair of bone fragments dating back almost 30,000 years and featuring minute designs carved by some of the earliest Europeans. The thumbnail-sized bone fragments are engraved with parallel lines and match similar artefacts uncovered in the same area during the 19th century. They were carved by hunter-gatherers as they slowly made their way north in pursuit of moving populations of mammoth and reindeer some 25 to 30,000 years ago. The unusual find was made by Becky Farbstein, who has been working at the Předmosti in northern Moravia in the Czech Republic. Experts are, however, still not sure what significance the markings had and are trying to build up a collection to interpret their meaning. So far, such finds have been few and far between. Miss Farbstein spotted the fragments while sorting through a mixture of solid objects left over from a filtration process, which the team were using to identify plant remains. Both pieces preserve a regular series of parallel lines engraved on one side of bone fragments, and the lines are the same distance from each other on both pieces, suggesting the two fragments might have originally been part of the same decorated object. The character of the decoration is very similar to other engraved designs found in the past at Predmosti, and this addition to the corpus of enigmatic decoration from the site is very exciting indeed. Just over 100 years ago, brickyard workers at Predmosti discovered vast quantities of mammoth bone and tusk. Many of the fragments had been cut, broken and burnt by the human communities who once lived there, and a few had been fashioned into human or animal shapes, or incised with these enigmatic designs. Much of the evidence was lost to the brickyards, but the fragments that remain form the focus of both the current dig and an open-air museum sponsored by the city of Přerov, to celebrate and to present to visitors their world-famous prehistory. A team of Iranian archaeologists plan to search for signs of writing at the 6,000-year-old Kole Darwish Tepe site near the city of Qom in Iran during their next phase of excavations, which is scheduled to begin in early September. During the third phase of excavations carried out at the site last year, the team had found evidence in the lower strata, indicating its urbanisation process began in the 3rd millennium BCE. These finds, including remains of architectural structures, pot burials, and a great number of special pots for measuring foodstuffs, which had never been seen before in the centre of the Iranian plateau. Kole Darwish Tepe has been seriously damaged by the construction of the Qom-Jamkaran highway over the past decade, such that only 10% of the ancient site still remains intact. The tepe once covered 50 hectares and was 30 metres in height, but now it's only 6 metres in height and only 10 hectares of the site remains untouched. There's evidence that Kole Darwish was inhabited from the 4th millennium BCE right through to the 9th century CE. While we're still in Iran, road construction and railroad developments are threatening the 6,000-year-old Yakut Tepe mound near Ben Shahar in Iran's northern province of Mazandaran. A team of archaeologists recently began excavations at Yakut Tepe to save artefacts from sections of the site, which will soon be buried under the road being constructed from the Amirabad port. Railroad construction previously destroyed over 3,000 square metres of the site 70 years ago. However, some parts of the mound are still intact. The team has excavated the site and found evidence from the Chalcolithic period, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age. The team has also unearthed a 40-centimetre black stratum, which is believed to be the sediment brought by a flood over 30,000 years ago. Rain grounded an airborne celebration to mark the 100th anniversary of the very first aerial photographs of Stonehenge. A balloon carrying photographers was due to fly over the ancient Wiltshire landmark to recapture images taken in 1906 by Lieutenant Philip Henry Sharp, but the poor weather on Salisbury Plain forced the balloon to remain grounded. English Heritage later provided aerial pictures taken from a balloon over Stonehenge earlier this year. Aerial views of Stonehenge taken 100 years ago are on display at Stonehenge until the 7th of August. Archaeologists have discovered the remains of a fishing village believed to be 3,500 years old in the central province of Cann Ho. The archaeological site is believed to be the oldest fishing village in the central province of Vietnam, according to research released by the Vietnam Institute of Archaeology and the Cann Ho Museum on July the 28th. The site belonged to an archaeological type called a shell mound, dating back around about 3,500 years. Following excavations at an existing archaeological site, four hearths, 261 stone artefacts, 84 bone spearheads, 26 complete pots and thousands of shards of pottery, as well as many animal bones, have been unearthed over a metre beneath the surface. They also found several bones used to knit fishing nets and make fishing tools, and the remains of 18 different species of scallops. When wildfires put prehistoric sites at risk, archaeologists work with crews to help protect centuries of California's heritage. As nearby hillsides were covered with orange flames and thick black smoke, two archaeologists stared with wonder at the three prehistoric stone grinding tools they had just discovered on the ground. These artifacts are as well preserved as anything you would ever find, and the whole settlement is in pretty good shape. Hopefully, it will make it through the fire without any major damage. As their colleagues at the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection were fighting the canyon fire, archaeologists searched the fire scene in the rugged mountains east of San Jose, looking for archaeological sites worth documenting and, if possible, saving. Jenkins and Watford are two of the six California Department of Forestry archaeologists who document prehistoric and historic sites for firefighters to be aware of when fighting these wildland fires. Ironically, the fire does less damage to the sites than the bulldozers used to stop the advancing flames. Many sites have survived wildfires for decades with relatively little damage, but when crews build a fire line or carve a road through the bush, then they can chew up the ground and dramatically alter or even destroy the site. The two scientists are part of a transformation in the interaction between firefighting and archaeology. While the CDF has long worked with scientists, archaeologists have only recently become an integral part of a firefighting team. This is because in the past, firefighters have had little information on the historic significance of many remote sites in the threatened forests. That all changed after the fire of 2002, when bulldozers used to battle the flames seriously damaged several prehistoric sites. But the fire also exposed some previously unknown sites, including a medium-sized village near Mount Laguna, with artifacts estimated to be over 8,000 years old. Previously, CDF archaeologists did most of the research trying to identify sites worth saving on timberland where logging was planned. Now, the research has become integral and integrated into the firefighting team. Well, that was a long archaeology news, and can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section, can be found on Badger, that's www.bajr.org, and more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you return again to us next week.